this week, Religion News Service reported on one very practical response to Pope Francis's call for a deeper engagement with members of the church he leads. The organization, Catholics in Alliance for the Common Good, has posted an online narrative survey soliciting responses on key issues for the Catholic Church, with the promise that responses will be forwarded both to the Council of American Bishops and to the Vatican. In the very first few days, the response has been substantial, and I'm pleased to be joined by Christopher Hale, a senior fellow at CACG. Chris, welcome to State of Belief Radio.
Reverend, thank you for having me on. I really appreciate being able to speak with you and your listeners today.
Were you surprised at the Pope saying he wanted to hear from people in parishes all across the world?
Look, you know, Pope Francis has been the leader of the Catholic Church for 7 months now, and every day is a surprise. So I think it's only a surprise when we wake up and read the newspaper and there isn't a surprise there. So this is not a huge surprise. I think this really is the pastoral leadership he plans to take in moving the bishops forward and the church forward. So I think this fits right in line with really the vision that he's articulated in his first 7 months of being a supreme pontiff for the church.
Right. Tell us about Catholics in Alliance for the Common Good.
For sure. Well, our organization was formed in 2005. We have the goal of articulating the fullness of Catholic social teaching in the public sphere. We do that through via social communication, traditional media like we're doing today. And also, we educate the laity and also members of the hierarchy as well on the fullness of the social teaching. So it's a mix of experts and laypersons, rank and file Catholics. Our membership is about 35,000 throughout the United States. But we've also really seen a jolt of the organization in the past 7 months. We really are a Pope Francis organization. He's really been the lifeline that really has spurred our movement forward.
What made you think that it was important to make this direct appeal for personal stories and to focus on what the Pope is doing rather than some of the other places you've been working?
So I think that these issues matter to people. Like, you know, I have a chance to worship every Sunday, and it's really incredible to see how much faith affects daily life for human beings. You know, my background's in politics, but there's points in people's lives where politics cannot touch. You know, politics can't be salvific. In fact, if it tries to be salvific, it becomes demonic in a way. So there are points that only faith alone can touch, and I think Pope Francis has clearly inspired the church, and he inspired me personally to really get into this work. You know, look, I quit a job because I believe in Pope Francis and I believe in this organization. It affected me personally, and I can see it, not just in me, but like in my friends and family and all throughout the church. And even people who aren't Catholic or aren't Christian, this man is having an effect on the entire world. And you're seeing that. People are making decisions based on his papacy.
What kind of questions are you asking in the survey, if you could give us some examples?
For sure. Well, Pope Francis, when he directed this survey, he was looking for experiences. This is not a poll on people's doctrinal views. This is a poll on people's experiences. And so Pope Francis really wants to see what people are experiencing in the pews. So we asked four questions. First question we asked is on the church's ability to proclaim well its teaching on married life and to support marriages. It's really important. You can talk about the fruits of marriage from the pew, but you need to help people who are going through marriages. So the question was, how are we supporting marriages in the Catholic Church? Second question we asked is, how are we supporting members of our community who are divorced and separated? The Catholic teaching on divorce is that it's not allowed within the church tradition. There isn't room for divorce. Our faith tradition's upheld for two millennia. However, we need to figure out a way to make space for people who have suffered divorce. You know, look, Catholic Church, about one in three Catholics are divorced, and secular society at large, it's one in two. So this is a big part of our flock. How are we reaching out to these persons? Third question we asked is, how are we reaching out to same-sex couples and gay and lesbian members of our church? Are we making room for them to practice their faith tradition in our communities? And the last question, I think the one that we got the most profound responses to, was Pope Francis has articulated again and again, that he wants this to be a church of mercy and a place of welcome. So we asked, what can the bishops do? What can the Pope do? What can we, the entire church, do in the context of marriage and family life? Be a place of mercy and a space of welcome for in our communities. So these are the four questions we asked, and the responses were as varied as the church, but really insightful and quite honestly very moving for me personally to read.
You have already, I understand, had a couple of thousand responses. Is it possible you could share a couple of stories that have come in so far?
For sure. I think several themes have come out of the 2,200 responses that we've gotten. The biggest theme is I think people in this church tradition or were in the faith tradition of the Catholic Church, so many of them want to be a part of this church. You know, they want a home in the Catholic Church, especially many people who are raised Catholic but no longer find a home there. I'll tell you three stories that I think kind of articulate the fullness of the survey. First story is from a woman from Chicago. She told the experience of her children going away for college, and she and her husband are sitting at home one day, and they realize, you know, they don't have the same feelings they had for each other when they first got married. They weren't, quote, in love anymore. And so she went to her parish priest. They both went to their parish priest, and he opened his arms and opened the resources of the parish, gave them access to prayer resources, but also to counseling, lay counseling. And so through prayer, through resources of his parish, through lay counseling, this couple was able to reconcile their marriage. Second story is another married couple. This woman was from Oklahoma. She told the experience that the church really prepared her for the wedding day. Really, that's really important. The Catholic Church requires intensive preparation for the wedding day for members who get married in the church. But she went through what she called a sophomore slump in the marriage. They, once again, the feelings weren't there. The day-to-day life got difficult. And she didn't find the resources in the Catholic Church for her. She actually went to an evangelical community across the street who provided her those resources, those support groups, et cetera. So different experiences here and how people were supported in that in their life. And the third story is a gay man from Boston. He came out as a gay man in the early 90s, about 20 years ago after college. He came out, and he came to the conclusion that he needed to come out and tell his friends and family. And he told his parish priest, who was a good friend of his, a good friend of the family, and basically didn't get the response he was looking for. The priest told him, from what he experienced, that essentially, if he did not change, God's love was withdrawn from him. So this is not the God that the Catholic Church teaches about, the God who loves us regardless of who we are. So this man, this priest said, you know, I want to repeat what he said. He said, if you do not change, God will withdraw his love from you. So, I mean, this profoundly hurt this person. This is a faithful man. So he left the church for some time. And you can imagine a priest, a friend says that to you, it affects you. But a few years later, he was able to find a parish, a priest, a community that was willing to walk with him on the way, in the journey. That priest, that parish, that community, that is the vision of Pope Francis. He wants a church that accompanies everyone on their way, on the journey of faith. And I think so these stories kind of articulate well, I think, the experiences we've been reading again and again.
You might be interested to know that as a Baptist pastor who still has a congregation, just a few weeks ago, I did a sermon entitled Brother Francis and talked about how we all should be grateful for this man being in the Vatican. I want to ask you a similar kind of question before we go, and that is, just personally, when did you know this is a different kind of pope? This is a pope that understands my world and the problems in it, and what did that do to you?
For sure. Well, I think we should step back even a month before he got elected, the Holy Father, Pope Benedict. Think about this for a second. Pope Benedict, in a world that is obsessed with power, with ego, with individual, he said, I renounce this power. I renounce it. He said to the church, said to me, Christopher, church, I choose you over me. So I think in that act alone, you're starting to see the Franciscan vision, if you will. when Pope Francis appeared in the loggia of St. Peter's, he comes out in a simple white vestment. He decided not to use Mozzetta and the stole. He comes out as he is, and he greets the people in simple language. "Good evening, brothers and sisters," he said. "Good evening." But I think what struck me the most of that night was not his simple language. He asked for prayers for him. He said, "Before I give the benediction," which is the blessing, "I'm going to ask you to pray for me. And not just pray for me, pray in silence." In this world that we live in, that is obsessed with noise, obsessed with moving from thing to thing, obsessed with superficiality, if you will, he got the whole world. A lot of people say this is the most watched television event in history. He got the whole world to be quiet for a moment, and I hope, pray. So I think he's calling us. From the beginning, we knew he was different. We knew that he was that this was not a this was not one of many. This was altogether different in kind. And I think those things, prayer, simplicity, withdrawing from the obsessive materialism of the world, is something that we saw from the beginning. He rejects the apostolic palace. He lives in a hotel room, you know? So there's, I think from his election on March 13th, you knew the world had changed.
Yeah. I think that's the very well said. And I have great respect for the man, and I have great respect for you and what you're doing, and I wish you well. Christopher Hale is a senior fellow at Catholics in Alliance for the Common Good. If you want to see the papal survey, you can find it on online narrative survey. Here's the website, papalsurvey.com. Chris, thank you so much for taking time to be with us today. We appreciate it. Hope to talk with you again.
Thank you so much. Keep pursuing your prayers, and we will do the same.
Well, that's all the time we have for this week's show. State of Belief Radio is made possible in part by the generous donations of listeners like you. Please visit us online at stateofbelief.com and consider making a financial contribution to support this show. We'll use it wisely to keep State of Belief on the air and to expand the reach of this program at a time when so few voices representing an inclusive, respectful approach to interreligious dialogue seem to exist. Stateofbelief.com is also where you can find out more about the show, hear extended interviews, watch in-studio videos, read transcripts, and sign up for our podcasts. You'll find more information about the topics discussed on this week's show and resources to help bring State of Belief to a radio station near you. Stay in touch with us, please, throughout the week on Facebook and Twitter. There's also contact information available at stateofbelief.com. The listener line is 800-856-0277. As always, we encourage you to tell others about this show. We want more people joining this conversation. Join us next week for more stories from the intersection of religion, government, and politics. Until then, you all take care of each other. I'm Welton Gaddy. That's State of Belief.